And that's what we're learning in Habakkuk now. So this was the big problem with Job and other prophets of David. And I have that we should look at Psalm 13. Let's look at Psalm 13, 1 and 2. Just see what's Psalm 13. Some of these early psalms are some of David's hurting time. Okay, Psalm 13, 1, how long? There it is. How long, O Lord, wilt thou forget me forever? Does it ever feel like that to you? Then you know you're right in a battle. Does it ever feel like God just doesn't know who you are? Doesn't care about your prayer? Doesn't care that you go to church, that you pray, that you try real hard to be so good? You're just doing everything right, and nothing's working out, and that bum across the street isn't doing anything, and his life is great. Just feel like you don't even care about me, God. That's a horrible feeling, people. That's a horrible feeling. Shout at me, do this, it just don't be silent. Let me know you're listening, God. How long, O Lord, wilt thou forget me forever? How long wilt thou hide thy face from me? How long shall I take counsel in my soul, having sorrow in my heart all the day? How long will my enemy be exalted over me? So this is the things that are said. And I look at Psalm 74. Psalm 74. Verse 9. Psalm 74, verse 9. We do not see our signs. There is no longer any prophet, nor is there any among us who know how long. How long, O Lord? How long, O God, will the adversary revile and the enemy spurn thy name forever? Why dost thou withdraw? There's the why. Why dost thou withdraw thy hand, even thy right hand? The right hand is Jesus Christ. From within thy bosom, destroy them. Note verse 12. Yet God is my King of old, who works deeds of deliverance in the midst of the earth. So what he's saying there is, this is why I'll continue to trust him. This is how the righteous are to live each day, in the midst of suffering, adversity, difficulties, wrongs, all these things going on in my own life, in the world. We're to live by faith. One of the richest words in the Bible, as long as we understand it. A lot of people don't understand faith that God is looking for. So the righteous shall live by faith. So next week we'll definitely end up finish Romans 1:17, having completed the Habakkuk study, and then we'll be ready to move into verse 18 and the rest. Let's close in a word of prayer. Every head bowed and every eye closed. Want to dedicate a closing moment here to anyone who may be here this morning, have never accepted Jesus Christ as Savior by faith alone in Christ alone. I'll give you that opportunity right now. You mean it's that simple, that just sitting here I can receive eternal life? Yep. It's by faith in Jesus Christ. But what about my life? Or what about this and that? No. What about a church? No. It's only one issue on the table. What think ye of Christ? That's the only issue on the table. Believe on the Lord Jesus Christ, thou shalt have everlasting life. And if you have believed in Christ as Savior this morning, you're way ahead of most in understanding how to live the Christian life now. See, most people want to live the Christian life by something they do. But you understand, well, no, wait a minute. You know, all I did to be saved eternally was faith. So all I have to do to be restored from sin in my life is going to be by faith. What I have to do to live the Christian life is going to be by faith. That's how I was saved eternally. That's how simple it was. And that's how simple living the Christian life is. Simply by faith. Heavenly Father, we are so grateful for the passage of scriptures that we looked at this morning. Pray now that your Spirit will take these things that we've seen, let them form in our souls, get solidified in our souls, bear fruit inside of us first, and then in our lives. And we live by faith. We can enjoy life, Heavenly Father, regardless of what's going on. We can enjoy every day of the journey with no shame or regrets. And Father, we pray that you just continue to cause us to see more and more of your wonderful plan before us as we continue to study these things and see these things, Father, and the gospel be seen, the righteousness be seen in our lives, Father, not by something we do, but just by simply trusting you. Father, we pray these things in Christ's name. Amen. Now, we'll have our communion, and then we will have fellowship together. And so the men that will be serving, get ready, and we will take up communion. Communion, two elements, bread and the cup. The bread represents what you've just studied, salvation one, or eternal life salvation from faith. The bread represents Jesus Christ as God becoming man and as man paying the price on the cross. The cup represents that second phrase, to faith. This is our Christian life. Live under the new covenant. Christ came, died on the cross, and then he departed. How are we going to live since he's departed? By the new covenant. The new covenant is the Spirit-filled life by faith. So the cup represents the new life that we are to live. It's a very beautiful, very simple thing that Christ did in the upper room. Very simple. All that he did was he took an Old Testament custom. And that Old Testament custom was that if somebody that you loved died, maybe a husband or wife, a child, a parent, well, you'd spend all day taking care of the arrangements and all. The house was free of all leaven. And so you were hungry and tired and weary of the loss. So you're the friend of that person, let's say. You go over to their house. You would walk into their house. This is in Jeremiah. You walk into their house, and you have a little bag you brought. And you take out of your little bag a cake of bread. And you break that bread. Break the body of Christ on the cross. You break that bread. And you give them some bread. And what you were doing was, and they knew it. You didn't even have to say anything. Now, I would probably have to say something, but you didn't have to. They knew what you were doing. But you give them the bread, and it's called the bread of comfort. Now, bread is going to give them nourishment. They haven't eaten. It's going to give them strength and nourishment. It's the bread of comfort. It's to comfort them over the loss of the one who has died. So this is the bread of comfort that we're about to partake. Let's talk about the service of the communion. There's very little given in the Bible. Now, I know some churches and denominations, they have rules and rules and rules about doing the communion. It's very simple. It's very, very simple. Anyone can serve. Ladies can serve. Men can serve. Anyone can serve. And these people say, oh, no, only a man or only a priest or preacher or rabbi or something like that. No. That would mean that if there wasn't one of those present, you couldn't take communion. That means if ladies were in a woman's prison, they wouldn't be able to do it. So none of that stands. There's no rules here. Our custom is that we celebrate it once a month. Some people do it every time they meet. Some people do it once a week. There's no right or wrong. There's just no right or wrong. We can't judge that ours is right and theirs wrong. They can't say theirs is right and ours is wrong. It's whatever the custom of each assembly is. Secondly, who can partake. People, if there were such a thing as called closed communion, if you weren't a member of this assembly, I'd teach it. If that were there, I'd teach. I wouldn't understand it, but I'd teach it. But that's not there. If you're a believer in Jesus Christ, join us in taking the communion, celebrating the Messiah. Join us. It's open to everyone. Heavenly Father, we thank you for the celebration of the communion, commemorating the fact that Jesus Christ came, taking our place on the cross, that we might have everlasting life by faith in him. Father, we praise you in Christ's name. Amen. It is our custom that everyone hold the bread until all have been served, and we will take the communion with him in a communion with each other. Paul writes in 1 Corinthians, "For I received from the Lord that which I deliver unto you, that the Lord, and when the night in which he was betrayed, took bread. And when he had given thanks," giving thanks for his own death about to occur, "and when he had given thanks, he broke it and said, this is my body which is given for you personally. Do this in remembrance of me." It is our custom that everyone hold a cup until all have been served. Will you please stand? Then what you would do is you'd reach in your little bag that you had taken over to your friend's house, and you'd pull out your little jug, and it would have wine in it. You'd pour a little wine in their cup, a little wine in your glass. And this was the cup of encouragement. You've given them the bread of comfort, and then the cup of encouragement to go on and live their life, since the person that they loved had died and was gone. What Christ was doing for us, the disciples and us, with the bread is the bread of comfort of his own death, and the cup of encouragement to go on and live our life. He's departed. He's home with the Father. He's preparing for us a place. He's making prayer, doing a lot of things for us. But we have to go on and live each day of our life in the new covenant. And that's what this cup is about, living our life until we meet him in the air. In the same way, he took the cup also after supper. So the Passover is over. This is for the church. This cup is the new covenant in my blood. Do this as often as you drink it in remembrance of me. All right, if you'll turn in your hymnals to hymn number 111. When the disciples and the Lord had completed the communion, they went out into the streets singing. We won't go out into the streets. We don't want to shock our neighbors. But let's sing 111, and then we will close in prayer. Heavenly Father, we thank you so much for the bread that you've given us out of the Scriptures. And now, Father, we thank you for the bread that we're about to partake. And Father, we pray you'll set aside our friendship and fellowship and conversations to your eternal glory and our eternal remembrance. Father, we pray these things in Christ's name. Amen.